कृष्ण हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गोवर्धनवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद कृष्ण Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Radha Madhava
जया कुंज विहारे जय राधा माधवा जया कुंज विहारे कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजनम् यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजनम् यमुना तीर मनचारी यमुना तीर मनचारी राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Gopal Nanda Radha Gopal Nanda Radhe Jai Radha Gopal Nanda Radha Gopal Nanda Radhe Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jai Sita Raman Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
जय शुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय नितिला प्रविष्ट ओम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरवरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की हेमनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामश्रुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वदेव गौरवाशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददातिं स्वपदान्दिजम् വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരും ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവി രാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധനാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയധൃതജല ബന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാപി കർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവാം പാരാശര്യവചസ്സരോരമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവേർ വേദൈ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമഃ സർവത്ര So, last Sunday, we were discussing about the Sagunam and Nirgunam, the two sides of methods of worship, worshipping Krishna. One is the Sagunam, is the form, worshipping the form of Krishna, and Nirgunam is the impersonal worship of Krishna. Both are from the Vedic tradition, both come from the Vedic tradition. Arjuna asked Krishna, what is the best process? Krishna's answer was straight away, that the process which is meant for worshipping me, my form, is superior. But immediately after that, Krishna says, Klesho adhigataraste sham, that although it is difficult, the reason for that is, the worship of saguna form or the worship of form is recommended, Krishna says, because klesho adhikatarastesham, for those who are attached to the impersonal aspect of Krishna, for them this process is difficult. That is how Krishna says about that. Avyakta asakta chetasam. Avyakta means the impersonal aspect of Krishna, whose mind is attached to the impersonal aspect of Krishna, for them it is difficult, Krishna says. Avyakta hi gadir dukham dehavad bhinavapyade. Because they are in the bodily concept of life. That is the reason for that. Because people are, those who are in the bodily concept of life, for them, worship of the impersonal aspect of Krishna is difficult. That is what Krishna says there. On the other hand, Krishna also says before that, that mayavesha manoyemam nityayukta upasade shraddhaya parayo vedasthene yuktadamo mada. That Krishna's opinion is that those who are attached to my personal form with shraddha, that's what Krishna stresses on that point, shraddhaya parayo vedasthene yuktadamo mada, they are better situated. That is Krishna's opinion about it. Now, from now on, if you go further in this chapter, as I mentioned before, this chapter is not purely about Bhakti Yogam. It also brings Jnanam, Karmam, Saguna Nirguna forms of worship, everything into this. So, you will see here that the Klesho Adhikatarastesham, verse 5 in the chapter 20, Klesho Adhikatarastesham Avyaktasakta Chetas, what is required is purification, purification of the heart. So long as the mind is not pure, or the mind is contaminated with the lower modes of nature, any process is difficult. Any process is difficult. So here, what Krishna says is that the 9 processes we have seen in the Bhagavadam, the Prahlad Maharaj talks about that, isn't it? Prahlad Maharaj talks about the 9 processes of devotional service. And that is what is saguna means. Sagunam worship means those 9 processes. What are they? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. The 9 processes, starting with hearing. Everybody has heard about that. The 9 processes of worshipping Krishna. That is his saguna worship, the saguna form of Krishna. So these 9 processes, which are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavadam, they are called as Bhagavata Dharmam. They are called as the Bhagavata Dharmam. And Bhagavata Dharmam and Krishna consciousnesses are not different. They are one and the same. They are one and the same. So this Bhagavata Dharmam was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his friends who were also students at the same Gurukulam, when Hiranyakashipu sent them all to be trained under Shanda and Amarkam, who were the children of Shukracharya. These children, spiritual life. But actually they were not trained in spiritual life. But Prahlad Maharaj was instructed by Srinarada Maharshi while he was in the womb of his mother Kayathu. So there he was instructed about these 9 processes of devotional service, starting with Shravanam. Shravanam is the first process. Normally, these 9 processes are given as examples through different individuals. Through different individuals. Shri Krishna Smarane Parikshit. That is how it is mentioned. Shri Krishna Shravane Parikshit. In Shravanam, the finest example in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit is considered to be the best example for Shravanam, for hearing. So, Shri Krishna Smarane Parikshit. Then, Kirtane, for Kirtanam is Sukadeva Goswami. So, Kirtanam actually means, people have this misconception that Kirtanam means only singing the glories of Krishna. Purely Kirtanam is referring to glorifying Krishna, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Kirtanam. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is identified as the best example for Kirtanam. Best example for Kirtanam. For Shravanam, it is Parikshit, and for Kirtanam, it is Sukadeva Goswami. That is how that Vyasalmaje Kirtanat, it says. Vyasalmaje is Sukadeva Goswami. Vyasadeva Vyasa Maharshi is son. For Kirtanam, he is the finest example. Then, who else? So, after that, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Prahlada Maharaj is considered to be the best example for Smaranam. Prahlada Maharaj is considered to be the best example for Smaranam. and then next shravanam kirtanam vishnur smaranam padasevanam. Padasevanam is the best example is Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi is always engaged in serving the lotus feet of Krishna. In Vaikuntham you will see the Mahavishnu lying down. Mahalakshmi is always serving the lotus feet of Mahavishnu. So therefore for serving the padasevanam the best example is Mahalakshmi. And then archanam. Archanam, worship of archanam. Archanam means worship with the flowers and offering to the deity. The best example is Prithu Maharaj. In the fourth canto of Bhagavadam, you will read about the glories of Prithu. Prithu Maharaj has shown by example how to worship Krishna. And therefore, Prithu Maharaj is given as the best example for archanam. Then Akrura Sabhi Vandanam. Akrura, when he was coming to see Krishna in Vrindavanam, you can see and read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how he was paying his obeisances. So if one wants to pay obeisances to Krishna, one should learn from Akrura. That is how Bhagavatam says. That consciousness of Akrura, how he fell down on the ground and rolled on the ground on the thoughts of seeing Krishna. Preparing himself, the day before Akrura started on a journey, and it was on a Dwadashi day, if I remember correctly. Ekadashi day Akrura has fasted. And on a Dwadashi day morning, before performing the Parana, that means while breaking the fasting, Akrura thought, I will break the fast. And the whole episode is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam when you read about Akrura's journey to Vrindavanam. So what happened to Akrura at that time is now what a consciousness should be for a person who is performing Vandanam to Krishna. That is what it means. That the way Akrura's mind was going through in the happiness of seeing Krishna, the thoughts of how Krishna will react while seeing him, and all kinds of things Akrura talks about it there. And when he arrived eventually in the evening, he started in the morning from Mathura and he got to Vrindavanam by evening. And he was mostly traveling in his mind, which was considered the chariot, mental chariot in other words. And the horses took him there ultimately. Through Akrura's story, it's also saying that when a devotee has taken to Krishna's shelter, under no circumstances he will go off the track. Eventually he will get to the destination. Krishna will make sure that the devotee get there at the end. And that is what that Akrura's traveling is showing to us. Although Akrura was not driving the chariot himself, he was supposed to drive the chariot to Vrindavanam. But unfortunately, Akrura was so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, but the chariot eventually got there. So devotee also has to think in the same way. Once this journey has begun in Krishna consciousness, you're not going to pull out of it. It will only end at Krishna's lotus feet. That is what that story of Akrura is teaching us. Through everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a message for us to know in Krishna consciousness how to go further. That see, Akrura's travel to Vrindavanam is nothing but a description of a devotee's journey back to home, back to Krishna. So when Akrura arrived, eventually he fell down. As soon as he saw Krishna, he fell on the ground and rolled over, thinking about the happiness of seeing Krishna. That Vandanam, so Akrura is considered to be the best example for Vandanam. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnur, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. Then, who is for Dasyam? Dasyam, there is no better example for Hanumanji. Hanuman, through his Dasyam, servitude, the serving nature of Hanuman was such that he was able to show to the world, if you want to serve Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am the best example. Hanuman was the best example. Then for Almani Vedanam, surrendering everything to Krishna. Who was the best example? Mahabali. Mahabali was the best. Sarvasvadada Alpura. That is how it's spoken about Mahabali. Mahabali learned how to offer everything to Krishna. This is one best example in the Bhagavadam, who has recognized Krishna and without any reservation offered everything to Krishna. And that is what makes Mahabali such a great devotee. Although born in a demoniac race, if you look at all these personalities, these nine personalities I mentioned, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, the nine personalities, Prahlada and Mahabali were born in the Asura race, in the demoniac race. But still, they are considered to be authorities for two of these special process of worship. So as far as Krishna is concerned, it does not make a difference in what race and how, what conditions you are born. But whether you have made it a success, perfect in that particular process, that is the consideration. So it is like this, these nine process devotional services discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these nine processes are only becoming important as far as Sagunam worship is concerned, when there is a form of worship of Krishna. Otherwise it has no significance, isn't it? Otherwise it has no significance. So Prahlada is concerned, for example, Dasya Bhakti. Prahlada has analyzed things very well. If you look in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, while Prahlada was talking about Krishna consciousness to his friends, how does he begin then? He begins with this question. Kaumara acharet prajno dharmam bhagavadaniha. This Bhagavata dharmam or Krishna consciousness should begin from the very early days in life. That's what he says. Kaumara acharet prajna dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manusham janmam tadapyadhvam arthadam. The reason for that is human life is very, very rare thing, Prahlada says. So one does not utilize human form of life for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Then he has lost an opportunity, great opportunity, he says. Then in the same prayers, in the same glorification, Prahlada Maharaj says there, Yadha hi purushaseha vishkham yadha dukkhamayat nada. Sarvatra Labhyate, this happiness is available everywhere, just like dukkham or distress is coming without any effort, it comes in the same way. Then he says there, Pumso Varshashadam Ayur Yadarthoja Ajida Alpana Nishphalo Yadaso Ratriyam Shedendham Prabhidastamaha. There is a beautiful analysis of Prahlada Maharaj there about human life. How does he analyze? He says there that Pumso Varshashadam Ayur. Generally, it's considered to be 100 years life for the human body, isn't it? Human body has about a 100 years life. So out of this 100 years of life, Pumso Varshashadam Ayur Yadartham Cha Ajidalpanaham. So out of this 100 years, Prahlad is saying, 50 years is spent almost in sleeping. If you take roughly, out of 100 years, 50 years is gone into sleep. So balance is 50 years, isn't it? Pumso Varshashadam Ayur Yadartham Cha Ajidalpana. Then Nishphalo Yadaso Ratriyam. And how is that Ratri? The night time is spent Shedendham Prabhidastamaham. Simply in ignorance. Tamogunam and ignorance he sleeps and spends almost half the lifetime. Approximately half the lifetime. We don't have to be very specific because it may vary a little bit this side or that side. But whatever it is, roughly Prahlada says there that Pumso Varshashadam Ayurtyadartham Chajida Alpana Nishpalam Yadaso Viratriyam Shedendham Prabhidastamam. Then the calculations, if you look, Mugdhasya Balye Kaumare Kridado Yadi Vimshadi. Vimshadi means 20 years. Mugdhasya Balye Kaumare Kridade Yadi Vimshadi. Playful time, boyhood, youthhood, and all that young youth age, where one spends his lifetime in so many frivolous activities, without any sense, doing so many different things, not knowing what is the right thing to do. Ignorance, in other words, that childhood, that ignorant childhood, ignorant youthhood, when he is controlled by the lust and desires, so many material desires, all that is taken into account there. And Prahlada is saying there, Mugdhasya bhale kaumare kridade yadi vimshani. In all these different activities, Bali waiting for the death to come. That will happen. One time or the other it will happen. It's only a little bit of difference for different people. So, out of 100 years, 50 years has gone in sleeping, 20 years has gone in boyhood and youthhood, and 20 years is spent in the old age and preparing for the death, waiting for the death. So, you can see. So, what's left? So, you can take it also to make the calculation a little bit more precise. Take 20 years from the youth and 20 years from the old age. Half of it has gone for the sleep, which you have already taken into account. So instead of deducting 20 plus 20, 40, you can say 10 plus 10, 20, plus 50 years sleep, so 70. Balance is left is 30 years, provided he lives up to 100. That's what you have to remember. as long as he lives up to 100. Pumso varsha shadam ayurtyadartham cha ajida alpana nishpalam yadasau viratriyam prabedam shantadattamaham mukdhasya baile kaumare kridadeya divimshadi jarayagrastha dehasya yatigalpasya vimshadi. Now, if you take out all these things, we all accept that out of 100 years, more or less you can say 70 years have gone, kept away for this. What's left then is 30 years. And this 30 years, Prahlada is saying, Durapurena kamena mohena javaliyasa shesham griheshu saktas pramattasya abhayadihi shesham griheshu saktasya pramattasya abhayadihi. Out of that balance 30 years, what is left there? Lot of the time is spent, Prahlada is saying there, Durapurena kamena mohena javaliyasa. Many, many different kinds of material desires comes. And through the effect of these material desires, working for them, and also the desire to satisfy the effort to satisfy all those material desires. That is what happens during that 30 years of time. So, virtually, Prahlad is saying there, that out of the 100 years of time, there is not much time for Krishna consciousness, is there? If you look at the Yadasuryatriyam Shedendam Pravidastama Mugdhasya Bale Kaumare Kridadeyadi Vimshadi Jarayagrasta Dehasya Yatigalpasya Vimshadi Durapurena Kamena Mohena Jabaliyasa Shesham Griheshu Saktasya Pramattasya Abhayadihi. Then Prahlad Maharaj gives an evaluation of the householder life in that prayers. Prahlad Maharaj teaches all these things to his friends, because the children ask Prahlada, what is the need to chant Hare Krishna now? Why not keep it at the old age to do all these things? This was the question from his friends. So Hiranyakashipu was sitting there, and the friends were asking Prahlada to give up all this chanting and surrender to Hiranyakashipu and make life a little bit more peaceful. Prahlada was saying, where is the time? There is no time, he said. I haven't got the time to adjust to all these things. Rather, I have to chant now before it is too late. And this is how Prahlada presents Bhagavata Dharmam to his friends in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see there, the seventh canto, if you read Prahlada's conversation with his friends before Hiranyakashipu was killed. This happens before Hiranyakashipu was killed. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, then Prahlada offers his glorification of Narasimhamurti in the seventh canto. So Saptamaskandam, the seventh canto, is predominantly this pastime of Prahlada and Narasimhamurti, isn't it? Out of the 17 or so chapters in the 15 chapters in the seventh canto, 11 chapters deals with this Prahlada and Narasimhamurti's pastime, and 4 chapters also deals with the Varnashrama Dharma. That is how the seventh canto is structured. One question will come now, that this Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness is the highest process whereby one can approach Krishna very easily, simply sticking to these 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. These 9 processes of devotional service, devotional processes. Now, soon after these 9 processes are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, with Prahlada instructing his friends, why is that immediately end of that Varnashrama Dharmam was spoken? This question will come, isn't it? Because you can still serve Krishna through the process of Bhagavata Dharma. That is what it says, through the process of Bhagavata Dharma. But how come Krishna in the same canto, immediately after the Bhagavata Dharma, Varnashrama Dharma was spoken there? Varnashrama Dharma is spoken there. So this question is generally will come up when you read Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto. This question will come up. So the answer to that is that when Prahlada spoke Bhagavata Dharmam to his friends in the 7th canto, which is this 9 process of devotional service, generally Bhagavata Dharmam is very effective when it's spoken to children. Children will be very quickly affected by that, because they do not have the dualities of the adults. Dualities are the grown-up people. In the sense that children are not influenced by the thoughts of love and hate and desire, anger and things like that. Even if that happens, it's very temporary. And therefore, their mind is pure to absorb Bhagavata Dharma very easily. That means, as long as there are dualities, there are no dualities in the mind, mind is free from duality, for such a mind, Bhagavata Dharma is very effective. Whereas, for the grown-up people, once they are coming to the higher, to older age, as soon as they have developed this duality in their mind, that means to see everything in a perspective of love and attachment and desire, because that is how we classify everything in this world, isn't it? So, as soon as that mentality builds up in a person, then Varnashrama Dharmam is necessary for him to purify his existence first, when he will be qualified to practice Bhagavata Dharmam without difficulty. So, Chitta Shuddhi or purification of one's heart is an absolute necessity in whichever process it is. Because the children do not require that purification, already they have that pure heart. When Bhagavata Dharma is injected into their heart at the early age in life, it will have an immediate impact on them. For a conditioned person who is grown up and who is conditioned by the modes of nature, for him it will be a little difficult to take to that process. Proper purification is possible through Varnashrama Dharma. That is why in the 7th canto, immediately after talking about the Bhagavata Dharma, in the next few chapters, Shri Narada Maharshi talks about Varnashrama Dharma to Yudhishthira Maharaj. When Prahlada Maharaj's pastime with Narasimha Murthy was heard by Yudhishthira Maharaj, this was all happening in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. After the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Arjuna and Shri Krishna, all of them were there. And Shri Narada Maharshi spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj the history, story of Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu and Narasimha Murthy in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. When Yudhishthira Maharaj heard this pastime of Prahlada and Narasimha Murthy, he wanted to know at that time how to develop that devotion like Prahlada. This question, Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much fascinated by the devotion of Prahlada Maharaj. So he wanted to ask this from him and find out how to get this understanding like Prahlada had. So in answer to that, Srinada Maharshi talks about Varnashrama Dharma in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, both are important. Bhagavata Dharma is important. Same time, Varnashrama Dharma is also important. This is what that 7th canto is teaching us. It's a very important thing in the Bhagavatam. That Bhagavata Dharma, no doubt it is a superior process. Everyone takes to these processes. But at the same time, without sufficient purification in the heart, all those processes are not showing its effect. Or it is not totally effective to the person. The results don't come easily because of the impurities in the heart. So in the Sagunam worship or the worship of the form of Krishna, these 9 processes are the most effective, which is a part of the Bhagavata Dharma, but at the same time it requires the purification of the heart as well. So in the Klesho Adhikadaraste Sham Avyakta Sakta Chedasam Avyakta ahigadir dukham dehavad bhiravapyate. For person who is absorbed in the bodily concept of life, for him it will be a difficult process, says Krishna here, the impersonal worship. But personal worship is also, can only be, worship of the form of Krishna is only possible because Krishna has allowed us to do so. Strictly speaking, many, many things what we do in our process of worshipping Krishna is only due to the reason that we are able to relate with Krishna in that way. Let us take for example, Gopi said to Krishna, na mata na pita tasya na bharya na sudhadaya almiyo na parashchabi na deho janmayevacha. What is Krishna's position strictly? Krishna's position is like this, na mata, Krishna has no mother strictly speaking, na pita, no father, tasya na bharya, no wife, na sudadaya, no children. Na mata na pita tasya na bharya na sudadaya almiyo na parashchabi na deho janmayevacha. Krishna's position is totally transcendental. He does not have a material body like we have, and he has no birth either. Krishna has no birth. Strictly speaking, Krishna has no birth. When did Krishna was born? If you ask somebody, when was Krishna born? There is no answer to that question. Because if you look at Brahma Samhita, what did it say? Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the origin. Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. And in addition to that, Adir, he is the origin. From he existed always. So a person who has existed always, for him there is no birth, isn't it? But still we celebrate Janmashtami, don't we? Why do we celebrate Janmashtami? It is for our benefit. Krishna says you can celebrate. If you want to celebrate my appearance, people take it, oh, today Krishna has appeared. Krishna did not actually appear. Krishna has been existing always. It's just that in this material, in this earthly planet, Krishna appeared in front of us on that particular day through Vasudeva and Devaki as the parents and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi as the foster parents. Like that, Krishna appeared in front of us. But strictly speaking, Krishna has no appearance. He exists ever, all the time. He has no origin. When he is the origin of everything. And because it's like that, Brahma Samhita says, Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. Everything has come from Krishna. And we are celebrating Krishna's appearance. So you can imagine, Janmashtami, when we are celebrating, we must also keep this in our mind, that we are celebrating the appearance of a person who has no appearance or disappearance. That is the answer to that question. Na mada na vidatasya na bhairya na sudadaya alpiyo na varaschavi na deho janma evacha. One who has no birth, one who has no death, one who exists all the time, and from him everything, like Bhagavatam says, janma adyasayado anvaya. Everything who comes from Krishna, everything goes back to Krishna in the end. And, but in sagunam, in the worship of a form of Krishna, all these things are acceptable. Because by celebrating Janmashtami, we get the feeling, oh, he also has got a birthday like us. We could send a birthday card or do something like that and feel some relationship. In order to develop the relationship with Krishna, all this is done. That is the reason behind it. In sagunam, everything what is saguna form of worship, all these things are important. Similarly, Krishna's marriage to Rukmini. Sometimes people celebrate Krishna's marriage to Rukmini. A personality, supreme personality of Godhead, for whom, for him, what marriage is there? What is the meaning of marriage for Krishna? But when he comes to this world and he performs his different pastimes, in order that the people like us, who are householders, who are absorbed in family life and married life and everything, it makes it a little easier when Krishna also performs marriage. Krishna also gets married, so we also think, oh, Krishna also got married, let me also get married. In the same way we continue. And people celebrate Krishna's marriage with Rukmini in a big way. And they in different temples, this marriage between Krishna and Rukmini is celebrated. But what does it mean? Krishna has got, everyone is, Krishna is Krishna's servant. And no one is free from that. And that is by the very nature of the creation it is like that. So since sagunam, in worship of the form of Krishna, there are different things like marriage of Krishna, Krishna's appearance and so many other things. Similarly, looking at the horoscope of Krishna. What is there to look in Krishna's horoscope? Gargamashi came and read through the horoscope. And Krishna has not, he is transcendental to everything. But when he comes to this world, he performs all these things so that devotees can have a relationship with Krishna. All this is possible only when that is in the form, when you worship the form of Krishna, sagunam. In nirgunam, this is not possible. So that is the difference between sagunam and nirgunam. In the Bhagavadam, if you look at all these things, and if you read the different prayers from the different devotees to Krishna, you will also notice so many interesting things like this. That the different pastimes were performed in order to give a hint to the human society that what should one do, how should one relate with Krishna. Otherwise, what is this devotee's relationship? When Gajendra's story was spoken, for example, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one message in there, that Gajendra's story is teaching us only one message. What is that message? Message is like this. When there is a dangerous situation in life, when there is a dangerous situation in life, one should take Krishna's shelter. This is what that story. In the Bhagavatam, in that 8th canto, there are 3 major pastimes of Krishna. If you look carefully, you will see there. First is the story of Gajendra, Gajendra Mokshanam. It is called Gajendra's liberation. Story of Gajendra. So, immediately followed by Gajendra is the pastime of churning the milk ocean. Churning the milk ocean. And immediately after that is the appearance of Vamana, Lord Vamana Murthy. Vamana Murthy's appearance. So, these 3 pastimes takes the whole of 8th canto, isn't it? Whole of 8th canto is covered by these 3 pastimes. And 3 pastimes tells us 2 important things. Earlier, through the story of Gajendra, it's teaching us that under all circumstances, one should take, sensing the danger, what is awaiting all of us in this world, which is the form of death that is coming to us. So, sensing that danger, to become serious and to take Krishna shelter, that is the message from that pastimes of Gajendra. If you study that story of Gajendra, it will be very clear that by the demons, and Krishna took the form of Mohini Murthy and retrieved that from them and given it back to the demigods and got them out of their curse from Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni cursed them and they all fell old age. Caught them and they could not free themselves from that. But by getting the nectar from the milk ocean, which was taken out, which was stolen by the demons, Krishna appeared in the form of Mohini Murthy and took it back and gave it to the demigods and they got back their youth again. This is the story in the 8th canto. Now you will see there one some more interesting thing. After this incident, what happened? After this incident, Mahabali goes to Shukracharya and says to Shukracharya that I have fallen into a difficult situation. And Shukracharya engages Mahabali in serving the Supreme Lord through different sacrifices, which you know in the Bhagavatam it is discussed there. So all through that sacrifices, Mahabali got back his strength. Mahabali was a very intelligent person in the sense that when the war happened between the demigods and the demons, when the demons lost the war, Mahabali told his friends, winning the war and losing, only one party will win the war. Just like in a game also, in sports and everything, only one party will win, both parties won't win. So Mahabali said, they won now because they learned how to win the match, they had the right approach. And if I do that, I can also win the war. And that was Mahabali's approach. So Mahabali goes to Shukracharya, and through Shukracharya's help, Mahabali comes back, and then he took over control of the whole planetary systems. All the 3 planetary systems, whole universe under Mahabali's control. Just like Hiranyakashipu controlled, Mahabali controlled everything. So at that time, the demigods, their mother Aditi Devi felt very depressed about the situation, seeing the situation of her children, and she worships Krishna with Kashyapa Prajapati's mercy, and eventually Krishna appears as Vamana Murthy, and Vamana Murthy Krishna. So these 2 pastimes, Gajendra Moksham and Mahabali story, one is telling us when danger comes, one should take Krishna shelter. That is the story through Gajendra. And through Mahabali's story, is teaching us if one has wealth, one should be given it, that should be offered in charity to Krishna. So both these things in the Bhagavatam in the 8th canto are significant because of this. All these pastimes, if you read through Bhagavatam again and again, you will get an understanding that Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us that pleasing Krishna is the only business in this world. There is no other business meant for. And in order to bring us to that point, different devotees and their experiences and their pastimes are shown in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go back to the 6th canto, where the story of Ajamila was discussed, Ajamila was a personality. And what is Ajamila is teaching us there? Ajamila's story is teaching us. Ajamila is teaching us only one thing, that whatever vasanas that has been built up inside, no matter in whatever condition one has fallen into due to various sinful activities, if one takes to Krishna's shelter, Krishna will still protect him. Therefore, that 6th canto is called as Poshanam. Poshanam means Poshna means one who has fallen into a difficult condition due to sinful activities, even he will be protected by Krishna if he takes to his shelter. So in the sixth kind of Bhagavadam, when we are talking about this Ajamila story, you will find there that Ajamila, that Brahmana, he chanted the holy name of Narayana once, and the result that all the Vishnudas appeared there. After Vishnudas appeared, Ajamila thought, how come this happened? Isn't it of 88 Narayana? And same thing I should be able to do at the 88th age if we get that far, and then go back home back to Krishna. But it is not like that. Unless we understand all these things properly, all these kind of misconceptions will come into the head. Why did Ajamila come to this situation, first of all? Ajamila was a Brahmana who was trained very well in his life by his parents. Parents have trained him very well how to be a cultured Brahminical life to lead. That was taught to him. In spite of that, Ajamila fell. Why did he fall? That is the first question. Ajamila went to the forest to collect the darbha and kusha grass for the parents for their sacrifices. And Ajamila, normal situation, a Brahmana trained like that, even if he has seen what he saw there, the prostitute and her friend together drunk and enjoying together, normally a Brahmana's cultured mind would tell him not even to look into that direction. But something was inside prompting him to look at it, and he could not withdraw his vision from there. Inside somebody was telling him not to look at that direction. But still he thought, he was struggling hard to control his mind. Vasana balajuhava narayana namakam sudam. In the Bhagavadam, while referring to this, the answer given to that is vasana balajuhava. Vasana balal, inside that vasana was there. So, enjoy this a little bit. After all, there is nobody else in the forest looking at me. And what is this, every day collecting grass, taking it home and sitting there in front of the fire and chanting all the hymns. There is some enjoyment also necessary. Some thoughts that come to him at that time in that direction. So what happened? That day he went home and the thought was, again the vasanas developed inside. Already there was a vasana to look in that direction. But while going home that day, the very sight of that, what he saw there, generated another vasana inside to enjoy again. So this is how vasanas builds up. That karma vasana, as it is called, as much as we execute karma in this world, every karma in this world will create a vasana inside. So that vasana prompted him to come back again next day to see the same thing. Like this, Ajamila went to the forest, rather than collecting grass or anything, he was more busy in seeing the situation. And then within a few days, Ajamila asked that woman if I could also come and join her. So when Ajamila put forward this proposal, she says to him that there is no problem, you can always come and join me, but you have to bring all the wealth with you. Otherwise, how are we going to live? And Ajamila, that is what happened to Ajamila, fell down. Ajamila brought everything from home, gave up his service to the parents, gave up his wife, everything, all connections were broken. And with whatever wealth he had, he brought it and came to see this prostitute and live with her. So, in this sixth canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi is putting through a great message to us. What is that message? Message is that is the safest thing by engaging in Krishna service. So, in Ajamila's case, before Ajamila took this birth, he was a Brahmana in his previous life as well. In his previous life also, Ajamila was a Brahmana. In one occasion, it so happened that there was a quarrel between Ajamila and his wife had a quarrel with each other. In that quarrel, something happened and Ajamila gave a very heavy curse on her. What was that curse? The curse was that in next life, you take birth as a prostitute. Like that, he gave her a curse like this. When he cursed her, she also could not stand that. The curse was so heavy on her, because those days, they always valued the words. Not like the cursing today. Today we curse and there is no effect at all. Whether you bless, there is no effect. You curse also, there is no effect. So in the Kali Yuga, all our blessings also have no meaning, and the cursing also has no meaning, because both are false actually. That's why it is so. So anyway, in those days, in Ajamila's time, it was not like that. If they have spoken, something has come out of the mouth, it meant that. So as soon as he said that, she could not handle it anymore. She said to him at that time, if I become a prostitute, you will come as my husband as well. She said to him. And this is why they had to accept that in the next birth, all these things happened in them. So because of the vasanas that goes in from one life to another, how the karma follows you, how the vasanas follows you, this is what Vedavyas is teaching us through this story of Ajamila in the Bhagavadam. And what prompted Ajamila to call Narayana? And what prompted Ajamila, the sense control was concerned, it was not very good for Ajamila's case. So although a Brahmana had lived a life of sense enjoyment to a high degree, and naturally the parents have normally an affection for the last child. It is quite common among the parents, older parents, they will have a great affection for the youngest child. So although there were so many children, this particular Ajamila had some affection. So why it has happened? Because of the age, and because of the age of the parents and age of the child. So all the time he used to think about this child, this last one, whether Ajamila used to think. And what prompted him to give this name Narayana, that is also vasana inside, during his Brahminical culture or Brahminical training, whatever he has practiced. Because of that, some vasanas inside prompted him to give this name to this last child, because he had a lot of affection for that child. That's why it is said like this, vasana balal juhava Narayana namakam sudam. Because of vasana balal, the power of vasana, Ajamila called this last child Narayana like that. It came to him in that way. So there was no other reason for that. That is alone, that vasana has caused this as well, to call him as Narayana. And at the time of when the Yamadutas came to take Ajamila back to the Yamalokam, at that time he called Narayana not because of anything else. He was frightened. When he was frightened, he was not calling Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Narayana, the Supreme Lord. No. He was actually calling his youngest child. He thought that if he is with me, at least I won't be frightened like that. That song, that such song was in the sixth canto. Krishna is telling us that the addressing even the child, Narayana, his child, Ajamila, was given an opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness. How did that opportunity happen? When he called the son, his youngest son, Narayana, that made the Vishnududas to appear. But then Ajamila asked Vishnududa to stay back, isn't it? Ajamila asked Vishnududa to stay back. They said, no, that is not possible. We have to go. We have done our duty. We were only told to get rid of these Yamadudas from here and leave you alone. That's all. But other commentators on Bhagavatam are saying that the reason why Ajamila was able to leave home at that time and get that complete detachment from home, reason for that was the association he got with the Vishnududas. So all the important things are coming in that episode. Association with great personalities will give the detachment from the material life, from material world. So exactly the same thing happened to Ajamila. Ajamila got the association of Vishnududas. And due to association of Vishnududas, he got that renunciation to leave everything, leave home and go to Haridwar and to completely surrender to Krishna. So this is how the system works in Krishna's service. That the Ajamila, although he has given the name, the child, Narayana, by calling him, Vishnududas appeared. Due to association Vishnududas, he got that impetus to leave home, that association. Though in the Bhagavadam, if you look at the different pastimes of what Vedavyasa Maharshi has discussed, you will see that all this is in reference to Sagunam, form worshipable, form of Krishna. That worship of Krishna is only possible when one is conscious of all these things. When one is not aware of any of these things and he is simply engaging in Sagunam worship, it will go on like that, but without the technicalities involved in that. That's what it says. So this Sagunam worship I mentioned before, is the worship of form, isn't it? And that's what we are concerned about. Like deity worship. Deity worship is the worship of the form of Krishna. And this exists in all levels in the world. Even people worship their own country, isn't it? Those who worship the country. And what is the deity of the country? Deity of the country is a national flag. They worship that. And the national anthem, what they're singing to the national flag, is nothing but the glorification of the country through their worship. So this Bhagavatam is the same process is applied there also. Deity worship comes to national worship in the flag, and national anthem is the prayers to the national anthem is the prayers or glorification of the nation, or which is represented through the national anthem. So how can one say that the deity worship is false? If all these things are false, then deity worship is false. But they are not false. That's acceptable to everybody. In fact, the whole country is supposed to accept it, isn't it? That worshipping the nation, you're supposed to show respect to the national flag. You're supposed to show respect to the national anthem. So if that is acceptable, why not deity worship is not acceptable? Why there is so much problem about it? It is not possible to approach Krishna. Krishna's position is so high, our position is so low. That how can we relate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead if we do not have these things? How is it possible? That is why if Krishna says here that that this process of worship is possible, Maya Veshavano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Pareyo Vedaste Me Yukta Damo Madaha. So that much, as long as one has Shraddha or seriousness in worshipping Krishna through the prescribed process, in the prescribed process, if one worships Krishna, then it will have the prescribed result also from that. Otherwise, there will be no results. This is what Krishna is saying here. Klesho adhikadarastesham avyakta sakta chedasam avyakta hi gadir dukham dehavadbhiravapyade. That embodied soul, when conditioned by the material body, the living entity cannot approach Krishna through the impersonal form. It is not possible. That is why great, great acharyas, they have thought through all these things enough before they have established these great temples. And when they establish temples, whether any of the great acharyas, they establish the temples with this intention that it is possible for ordinary people to approach Krishna in that way. Otherwise, it is not possible. Krishna's position is so high. So they have established certain rules and regulations, and they have established certain system also, like different sannyasa sampradaya. They have brahmachari, apart from the varnashrama dharma, as also the purpose is behind is this, the same thing. Varnashrama dharma is meant for perfection of that. That is where the problem comes. That's where the problem comes. Because we have always one difficulty. If we get hold of something, we find it very difficult to leave it. Isn't it? At some time, we find it very difficult to leave everything. So, Krishna is saying here, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has already spoken about that. What did he say? Krishna said that we have the patram pushpam phalam toyam. Krishna says, offer that to me in the process of worship, which is the process of archanam. So, deity worship is nothing but archanam. In that, when you are worshipping the deity, all these things are a part of that. And the great acharyas, when they built the temples, they created in such a way, made it as simple as possible. They didn't say that you have to have the deity out of gold. No, you can have the deity out of the stone, they say. Because, so that it is accessible to everybody. All that they asked was, you offer water and flowers. And whatever little you can offer as the offering to the deity. So simple things they have established like that, so that it is accessible to everyone. But in due course, we felt that deities require more. It is we who have imposed everything upon the deity. The deity must have the best of everything. Best of ornaments, best of the clothes, best of the food, and best of the chariot to travel. So depending upon one, that is not a wrong thing. In other words, what it meant is that according to one's desire to satisfy Krishna, he can offer as much as he wants to Krishna. That is allowed. There is nothing wrong in that. But along with that, security also became necessary for Krishna. Otherwise, there was no security necessary. Worship, everything is to elevate the mind, elevate the consciousness, to purify. The more it's purified, Krishna consciousness will shine inside. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness won't come. So for purification purposes, all this is happening, all this system is established by the great acharyas. Krishna also says that, yadyada acharade shreshta tattat evedaro jana sayal pramanam kurude logastadanu vartade. Acharyas established all this and the whole world follows that process, isn't it? They follow that process and they also get purified in that process. Important thing is, as much as one is progressing in the spiritual path, at some point in time, it may become necessary to give up this process also. Because according to one's realization, when one has progressed in the spiritual path, at some point in time, it may be necessary even to come out of this. It may become necessary. But then you may find people still come to the temple, even great realized souls who are seeing Krishna, Krishna's presence in the whole creation. Where is the necessity for them to come to the temple to see Krishna? Because they are already perceiving Krishna in every living entity. If one has reached that stage, why do they come to this temple again to worship Krishna? Narada Maharshi answers that in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. What does he say? Anyadha paditya shangayah. That they have the fear that if they don't go to the temple, others also may stop going to the temple, thinking that there is also need for them to go. Only for the sake of the reason to be also understood. Otherwise, what happens is, the human nature is normally to hold on to something and then he doesn't want to leave it. He got on to deity worship, I'm going to the temple, I have to do this every day, every night. And then it becomes a sort of a conviction inside that if I've not done that, my spiritual life is not complete. That is not the process. Process is at some point in time when one has come to the point of understanding that Krishna's presence is understood properly through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that at some point one will think that this Krishna is completely within me. And searching for Krishna within himself is the process. So when one is realizing Krishna's presence within oneself, there is a question of looking for him elsewhere. But still he goes, as Narada Maharshi says, anyadha apaditya shangaya, because of the fear that others may fall. Others may fall down. Sometimes, see for example, a grandmother says to the grandchild, grandchild is asking grandmother, grandmother, you have not gone to the temple. No, I have been to the temple many times before and now I am able to understand that Krishna is in everything. Krishna is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, everything. So what will the grandchild will say? Grandchild will also say to the grandmother, I have also realized Krishna now. There is no need for me to go to the temple. This will be the next thing. What will happen? So in order that the system is established in such a way that even the realized personalities, they still come to the temple, although they have gone beyond the temple worship. Then, the saguna arathana or sagunam or the worship of form, there are certain injunctions associated with that. That is also important. But it is said like that. The injunction is that spiritual master should be seen as Krishna's representative. He is as good as Krishna, in other words. Because he saved us from the cycle of birth and death. And through him, Krishna has come to us. It is through him, through his mercy, we understood Krishna. So therefore, our duty is to accept him as Krishna's representative and not to see him as an ordinary human being. This is the reason why it is spoken like that. That we will say that it's always spoken that spiritual master is to be seen as seen as Krishna himself. Krishna has come to us in that form. That's why it is spoken like that. Similarly, the deity should not be seen of the material what it is made of. For example, sometimes the deity is made of stone or made of metal or made of something else, whatever, wood or whatever it is. But wood, metal or stone, deity should not be seen as material that's made of. That's an injunction on this. So, Shastram should not be seen as normal book. Spiritual master should not be seen as an ordinary human being. The deity should not be seen made of the material what it is made of. Rather, Krishna himself, the deity should be seen. Because it is Krishna has given us this concession that you can see me in this form now, but see me as Krishna, not as the matter, material what it is made of. So all these things are there in the worship of Sagunam, in the form of worship of Krishna. All these things are there. And after this, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? Krishna says to Arjuna that something important. What's that? These are very important. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya maya. Now Krishna is saying to Arjuna, one who sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. That is the most important thing there. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. one who offers all his karma to me. Karma sannyasam. In other words, it is mentioned there like that. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sannyasyam alpara ananyeneiva yogena maam dhyayantam upasade. One who worships me like that, offering the results of all results of all his work to me. Sarvani karmani mai sannyasyam, or performing all his activities for my happiness. In other words, sarvani karmani, all karma, mai sannyasyam, for my sake he has given up all the other material activities and offered everything to me. Such a person, Krishna is saying here, that ananyeneiva yogena maam dhyayantam upasade. His worship is perfect because his ananyeneiva yogena. Ananya means without any deviation, completely focused. That is how he is worshipping me, Krishna says. And what will happen to that person? Teshamaham samudharta mrityu samsara sagaral bhavami nachiral paata mayaveshita chetasam. Because that person's life mind is absorbed in me, what will happen to him is, Teshamaham samudharta, I will pick him up from what? Mrityu samsara sagaral, from the cycle of birth and death, he will come out of it, Krishna says. Now, this is another important point. Tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsara sagaral. Mrityu sam is right for Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna is not considering that you have come to spiritual life even. If you have come to spiritual life with the whole purpose of acquiring material wealth or material desires, that also Krishna gives. But in the Bhakti Yogam chapter, Krishna is saying in here, that person who comes to me with the desire to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death, and who offers the results of all his activities to me, such a person, I will bring him out from there. Teshamaham samuddhata mrityu samsara sagaral. Mrityu samsara sagaral bhavami na ajiral partha mayaveshita chedasam. Because he is so absorbed in me, his mind is so absorbed in me, with this whole strong desire, intense desire, to go back home, back to Krishna, and to free oneself from this material world, Krishna says, he will follow the process seriously, and I will get him out from that. That is the what? This is the guarantee clause of this chapter. The guarantee clause. Just like when you make a contract with any company, they put at the end, isn't it? Warranty clause. What does it say? 12 months, manufacturing defect, and things like that. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, that if you approach Krishna in this way, only with this desire to cut out of this cycle of material existence. Cycle of material existence. Only when that, so the desire has to be inside strongly to go back, come back to Krishna. When the desire is strong, then our activities will also go in the right direction. Otherwise, it will again will be on a material platform. So that's what Krishna is warning us through this, through these verses. So, this verse is important because it's spoken in different ways. Some people say religion, normally when we talk about the industrialized world, let's take for the example, because that's the most powerful block in this world today. The industrialized world, isn't it? That's what it is, if the country is very industrialized, it's considered to be advanced. So anyway, that doesn't matter. But look at that society. If you look at that society normally, there are two groups in there, isn't it? One is the capitalists and the other one is the communists. So this is always the two groups which are trying to establish their supremacy. Sometimes capitalists are in power and sometimes communists are in power. So if you take the example, the great thinkers in all these two different systems, in communism as well as in the capitalism, they'll bring their ideology to you and present it to you how correct they are in their analysis. Isn't it? They're correct, they are in their analysis. Say for example, let's start with communism. Communism, Karl Marx, who wrote this Das Kapital and all his communist philosophy, which became very popular for a long period of time. Many countries comes under the, accepted that, and it became a very powerful force. This Marx, what did he speak about religion? If you have read about his understanding of religion, he says, that as far as he is concerned, he says, that unless and until you have proved that God exists in a laboratory, I am not going to accept it, he said. Unless you prove it to me that God exists, just like you prove anything in a laboratory through scientific process. If you prove to me God exists, through a laboratory experiment and prove to me that God exists, then I will accept God is important as far as he is concerned. And their philosophy was such, the communists, their philosophy at that time when they propagated in strongly was that those, there are two group of people, one is one who have got it, haves, and the other one who don't have it, have-nots, isn't it? The two groups they talk about, haves and have-nots. So they say that you should take from those who have got it and you should give it to those who don't have it, and you should make them equal. This was their philosophy always. They preach in this way, and that is how they survived on that. That was their theory behind it. Now, if you ask the ones who have got it and if they don't give it, you take it out of them forcefully and give it to them. This was what they stressed on these points. So they were in their communist philosophy, this is very, very important. But what is unfortunate here is, if you know that where the Vedic philosophy is differing from all this is, in this way, that when Marx spoke about these things as the propagator of the communist philosophy, he was only talking about two groups of people, one who had it and the others who didn't have it, or the haves and the have-nots, as he said. So there were two groups of people. What he did not know was, there was a third group of people who had everything, but they threw everything and went to the forest inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That he didn't know, that there was a third. If only Karl Marx had read Upanishads, if only he has read Bhagavad Gita, he would have thought that there is another alternative from these two. That great, great personalities, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Parikshit, they were personalities, and so many other in this all are able to relate with that. He only saw what was in this little world, in his own eyes, what he experienced. Based on that, he formulated his own principles. On the other hand, if you go back into the capitalists, what do they say? Use everyone to my advantage. This is what they teach us. That exploit the society, exploit everything, and exploit Krishna and Krishna's energy for one's own sense gratification. That is what it comes from their side. So neither of these is actually the answer as far as human life is concerned. Human life, in order to understand what is the purpose of the human life, Krishna consciousness is what Vedic philosophy is presenting to us. Therefore, so long as we don't understand this difference in the philosophy of the Vedic Vedic literature through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Upanishads, what Krishna has presented to us, that the whole of human life is not to acquire the material wealth and be satisfied with that, rather preparing oneself to go back home, back to Krishna. And that is why throughout the Vedic literature you will find this one particular point is stressed very strongly, the desire to develop spiritual life, to go back home, back to Krishna. That is why it says here, Krishna says, what will he get? A person, yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara, ananyeneiva yogena, mam dhyayandam upasade, tesham aham samudhartha. Such a person, Krishna says, mrityu samsara sagaral. Krishna is not saying that I will offer him all the material wealth or all the material happiness. No, Krishna is saying what he will get, the result of that will be, mrityu samsara sagaral bhavami na achira alpartha maya veshita chedasam. Such a person, Krishna says, that he will come back to me and he will, even the human has to know what the next destination is. And that stopping this cycle of birth and death, in other words, putting an end to accepting new material bodies all the time, is the goal of human life. That is what is to be understood. If Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has one message for human society, that is this, nothing else. This is the most important message from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita only for this purpose, to wake us up to this reality. That we have to change the human body, accept another body and another body, and vasanas building up. And all the science is explained there, how the change of body happens. So when one studies Krishna consciousness through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one will understand why Krishna is saying here, tesham aham samudhartha, mrityu samsara sagaral, bhavamina ajiral partha, maya aveshita chedasam. If his mind is absorbed in me, Krishna says that he will come back to me and I will stop this cycle of birth and death for him. What does it mean, cycle of birth and death? Birth and death means, where does this birth and death comes? Birth and death comes from karma. Karma is the cause of all these things. So many different kinds of activities we have executed in different lifetimes and continue to execute in this life as well. So as long as the activities are not pure or activities are binding us to this material world, there is no possibility of freedom. Therefore, in Karma Yoga, Krishna is saying that this my sarvani karma sarvani karmani my sannyasya is nothing but Karma Yoga, what Krishna is talking about. That one is able to offer the results of work to Krishna in such a way, the result will be that he is able to give up the desire for results and act completely unaffected by the results. That means he is performing Karma Yoga. That karma becomes a yogam. So what Krishna is saying here is that attachment for results will be taken away from him by Krishna's mercy. And that means he is liberated. Then all his activities are on a spiritual platform. He is no more bound by the material world. Otherwise, in normal situation, human society, activities are continuously going on. Or activities are binding him. The results are coming back to him. And he is working for the results is the only goal. Because we always say like that, isn't it? That you have to go by the results, we say. Companies talk about like that. The individuals also think the same. So this attachment to results is very strong in everyone's heart. So Krishna is saying here that mrityu samsaram, this material existence is only due to this attachment to the results. That's how it has happened like this. So therefore, Krishna is saying that if that person serves me with that proper understanding, eventually Krishna says he will take him out of that mrityu samsaram, or in other words, attachment for the results of his activities, and then he is liberated. He is no more in bondage. He is released from this bondage. Bondage is only due to this attachment that is built up. And although superficially we may say, oh, I am not attached, the attachment is very strong in all of us. Even by changing the clothes, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. Ajari Swami says that, Jadani Mundi Lunjida Gesham. He says, one brahmacharya shaved up all his head and put his Lunjida Gesham. Lunjida Gesham means this shikha here. Kasha Yambare Bahurda Vesham. He has put everything, some kind of people who are following the spiritual path, they'll do like that. And some people completely shave it up, Mundanam, fully shaved up. They are like that. And some people, Lunjida Gesham, the shikha. Jenni, Mundida, Lunjida Gesham. All three different styles. Three different hairstyles. Then, Kasha Ayambare Bhagrada Vesham. Some people saffron clothes in one form, in another dress, all to show that they are spiritually progressing. But, Pashyanna Bhagradi Pashyadi Vesham. That all the show goes on in this world. Why? Udaranimitam Bhagrada Vesham. Only for filling the belly. That's all he says. They are not on the situation, on the platform of knowledge. Either some material desire is behind it, always prompting them to do that true renunciation and true happiness from spiritual life. If it has come, that they will not chase after the other glories. Or it can come, material happiness can come in different ways. Some people want to acquire wealth, some people want to acquire fame, some people want to acquire something else, so followers, so many things in this world. So Acharyas have warned us about that also. That serious desire in progressing in spiritual path means understanding Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And now, after this, that Krishna is saying here, everything that is performed should be done in the light of knowledge. If it is not done in the light of proper knowledge, it will be done in ignorance, isn't it? When it is not properly understood why it is done. Just like many rituals in this world becomes a part of religious life. And they think performing these rituals is my spiritual life. It becomes like that. At the end, appearance days, disappearance days, to me, what is here? That's what it is said. That instead of it is being done in the proper understanding and things are done in ignorance, then things will happen like that. Because karmam, when it is executed, the enthusiasm to execute karmam, and the happiness that's coming from karmam, that all has to be linked with knowledge. Proper knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, why it's being done, and for what purpose, and what's the goal, this has to be very clear in the mind. That is why, as I said before, when we discuss Karma Yoga, that all in Upanishads, the goal is always spoken. Because if the goal is not clear, everything what you do will become routine and mechanical. It is normal. We see that in spiritual life also. People come to spiritual life And after some time, they realize that material life can be very happy within spiritual life. Once that realization comes, then the goal has changed from spiritual life to material life, is it not? So this is what happens. That is why Krishna is warning here. Tesham, why Krishna speaks about the goal now, not about the process. Teshamaham samudhartha mrtyu samsara sagaral bhavaminamachiral partha maya veshida chetasam. That if you are getting closer to Krishna, this is what should be the result. That the desire to escape from this material cycle of birth and death once for all, going back to Krishna has to become the goal. And that is what Krishna consciousness is about. That is what Krishna consciousness is about. Krishna consciousness is nothing but how to escape from this cycle of birth and death. That is the ultimate goal of life. And therefore, in this chapter of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna has spoken about the goal very clearly in the beginning. After this, now in another four verses, what does Krishna, that's difficult, offers next alternative. Arjuna says, that's not possible. Alternative 3, Arjuna says, impossible. Alternative 4, Arjuna listens to that to some extent. So you can see how in spiritual life also, spiritual life is not that everything is mechanical. No, it cannot be mechanical, because if it's mechanical, it has no meaning. Mechanical thing is okay as far as body is concerned. But human society, who has got a mind and intelligence, requires a proper understanding of spiritual life through Shastram. Otherwise it will not work. Our main enemy is not gross body. Gross body will drop any day, one day anyway. That you don't have to endeavor for that. Only you have to give some time. Maybe 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Doesn't matter. Gross body will go. But that thing called subtle body which is inside, that is our greatest danger. And that doesn't die away simply by acting all the time. Simply by using the body and performing work, it will not take away that. That requires what Krishna says here. That the proper understanding, Krishna is explaining there how that subtle body will go. How that subtle body will go. How the vasanas will go. How karmas effect. All these are important because of these reasons. So from now on, in another four verses, Krishna is talking about four different options. And at the end, Krishna talks about the relationship between them. Let us look at that. The first option, Krishna says,
Mayeva mana athatsva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ada urdhvam na samshaya.
So, earlier Krishna has spoken, Yadu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpira ananyene vyogena maam dhyayana. How to make a life happier in this world. Vedic philosophy rejects all that. Vedic philosophy says that whether you have wealth or you have no wealth, the end is the same for you. Either way, the end is the same. So, you have to leave the body and accept another body. So, the subtle side of everything is what Bhagavad Gita is talking to us. Bhagavad Gita is not telling us the gross side of it. It's only telling us the subtle side of life. So here, this is the problem with religion. Religion has been suffering because of this in this world. Every time religion has been presented to the people in this way. Religion, something, it's just like the salt while cooking. If you increase the salt, if a person who does not know how to cook, what he will do? Either he will put more salt or he will put less salt. But a proper cook, he know how to put the right amount of salt while he is cooking. So similarly, religion also, either you will find there is excessive of it, or it is lacking in the society, or some people take it to such an extent that make life hard for everybody, or some other people, they have completely rejected religion, no salt at all. So normally, this situation causes difficulty in the society. When we drag people in one direction and expect from them a standard of life which is not totally practical in the world, also it is again creating disturbance for them. That it is easier that to change the clothes and say to the people that, oh, you give up everything, come to the temple, move in and stay here, don't go, everything is provided. Krishna is saying here, that edu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyena iva yogena maam dhyayantam upasade tesha amaham samudhata murti samsare sagaral bhavami nachiral partha maya aveshita chedasam.
So how to get absorbed in Krishna, at the same time execute one's life in this world? This both are become necessary. That in that process, Krishna says, one will be faced with these different options, which are spoken from now on. Maye eva mana adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi maye eva, ada urdhvanna samshaya. Krishna says, what does he say? Maye eva mana adhatsva. Krishna says, let your mind be absorbed in me. That is the first thing. Why is Krishna given importance to the mind? Maye eva mana adhatsva. Then, mai buddhim niveshaya, his intelligence be enter into me. Nivasishyasi mayeva ada urdhvamna samshayaha. If that happens to him, Krishna says, he lives in me. What does that mean? What does this verse mean? Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva ada urdhvamna samshaya. Krishna says, if he is absorbed like that, he will go up. Urdhvam. Urdhva means to go up. Na samshaya. No doubt about it. This was the first option Krishna has given to Arjuna. What Krishna is saying here is that, if you remember earlier, we saw one thing. What was that? Rathakalpana. How we saw this body as a chariot, isn't it? We discussed this in the beginning. This is all from the Upanishads. All these are in that Rathakalpana, when we thought about human body is nothing but a chariot. A chariot. The senses are the horses. The passenger is the soul. The living entity is a passenger. The intelligence controls the mind. And who controls intelligence? Krishna controls the intelligence. And the mind is the rein. If you remember, mind is the rein which controls these horses. Horses are the senses. Isn't it? This is how we saw the chariot before. When we talked about Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, it was presented like that. That the, always to remember that, that these chariot form, which you will see the famous picture in front of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is holding the holding the rein, Arjuna in the chariot as the passenger, and this is nothing but this human body is presented there in that form. So while being driven, this chariot is driven, it's already said in the Kama Yoga also, if you engage, if you bring Krishna in the presence of intelligence, hand over the rein, which is the mind, to Krishna's hands and let Krishna drive the chariot. It will reach the destination. Otherwise, it will not reach the destination. Otherwise, it will not reach the destination. If we use our intelligence and drive the chariot, it will not reach the destination. Rather, if Krishna drives the chariot, it will reach the destination. Therefore, it is so important to know Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying here, mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi buddhin niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ada urdhvam nasam, live within me. He will not go away from me. Let us look at this way. What is bhakti means? Bhakti means what? Definition of bhakti is in so many places. The most authentic literature on bhakti so far among the great sages is Narada Bhakti Sutram. Sri Narada Maharshi says, great literature called Narada Bhakti Sutram is the finest literature. Srila Prabhupada has commented on that. It's a small book. I think only few verses Prabhupada has commented and balance was not completed for some reason. Anyway, Narada Bhakti Sutram is the most authentic literature on the bhakti process because Sri Narada Maharshi is the greatest acharya of devotion, pure devotion. Later on, in different traditions, like in Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition also, Rupa Goswami compiled Nectar Devotion. They all come much later. But in the strictly speaking, from time immemorial, this great literature of Sri Narada Maharshi holds good for bhakti. What does bhakti mean? And he has defined there bhakti very elaborately. If you want to know about bhakti, what bhakti means, it is in Narada Bhakti Sutram you have to refer to. He has quoted the authority of all the other great acharyas, including his father Parashara Maharshi, Parashariya's definition of bhakti. Then the definition of Shandilya Maharshi. Shandilya Maharshi was the family priest or the sage who performed all the ceremony for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So Shandilya Maharshi's definition of bhakti is given there. Who else? Garga Maharshi, who gave the name, who is the priest who performed the ceremony for Krishna, name-giving ceremony to Krishna, is Garga Maharshi. So Parashara, Shandilya and Garga, all three of them own identity, what he is. So Asmin Parama Prema Ruva, he said he has realized that he is spirit soul and his attachment to his own self, and he is situated in that, that's bhakti, he says there. So Swasvarupanusandhanam bhaktirithabhiyade, one acharya has defined like this. When you are start searching your own true identity, that is called bhakti. That bhakti means, it's not that a show what we make in this whole world. So others, everybody knows that I am a great devotee. I have to convince, that is useless. That's, nothing comes out of it. But Krishna is saying here, so Swarupanusandhanam, when one is inquiring about one's own identity, what I am, which we do not know. That is why all the problem we have. When one falls from one's own identity, you come out of one's own identity. When you lose this identity, I am spirit soul, I am Krishna's part and parcel. Once that identity is lost, then he is in trouble. He is in trouble. So that is why we get disturbed all the time in this, in the relationships also. Because we have come out of our true identity, isn't it? So Swarupanusandhanam bhaktirithabhiyade. When one is pursuing his own identity to know what he is, that process is called bhakti. That process is called bhakti. Mukti Mukti hit anyadharubam swasarubena vivasthiti. In the Bhagavatam you can see this. Liberation means what? When one is situated in one's own sarubam, one's own form, what he is, spiritual form. So as long as we are situated in our spiritual identity, we are not disturbed. The moment we fall from our spiritual identity, comes to the material platform, we are immediate as my own part and parcel. There is no question of him suffering in the material world. It will not happen to him. Because nivasishyasi mai eva, he is in me. There is no question of he experiencing the happiness and distress of this world. Neither of them. Ada urdhvam na samshayaha, he is going to go up like this. So this was the first option what Arjuna, Krishna has given to Arjuna. So Krishna's first option to Arjuna was this. Let's see what Arjuna says there. Then, our most of the difficulty is we are not able to know this situation within ourselves. That in many instances in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you will notice there, in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you will find there that the Mayeva mana adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ada urdhvam na samshayaha. That the proper situation of one's own consciousness, or one's identity with the material body, or identification as the relationship with Krishna. This is the most important thing. Because we do not have that relationship with Krishna established in ourselves, Krishna says that the distress comes to the living entity. That we can see, saying there, that because of that, it is impossible to find, be satisfied and happy in that condition. Why? Because he has left his true identity. He has lost his identity. So that is what is stressed in that verse. One has to occupy his true identity. As the muktihit anyadharubam sarubena vivasthiti. In the Bhagavatam you can read this in the, I think it's in the third canto. Swarubena vyavasthiti, that means when one is situated in one's own swarubam, one's own individual identity, that is the true identity which is Krishna's servant or Krishna's part and parcel, whatever that is. So, so this is the first verse what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. When Arjuna heard this, Arjuna says, that's not possible. See, this one, it's all very nice when you hear it, but it is not possible to practice it. This is what the reply from Arjuna. That is why the next option was given. Because if Arjuna says, oh, I have understood now, I could have accepted that. But it looks that Arjuna was not able to completely come to terms. It's not easy for a conditioned soul to be fixed up in that position. It's not easy. Because of various reasons. One, due to his karma vasanas, what is inside. That won't allow. Prarabdham won't allow him. Secondly, the modes of nature he is in. Krishna gives 3-4 options, and when you look at each option, you will see, you will really find it difficult which one to choose from, because they are all difficult. None of them are really so easy in that sense. So identify Sicily rather than with the material nature. This is the first option Krishna has given. In order that to happen, it is not so easy. Why? As I mentioned before, we have so many enemies inside, isn't it? There is enemies outside, forget about them. There is enemies inside as well. The ones outside is nothing. Ones outside you can somehow avoid them and go away somewhere. But the ones inside, that you can't get rid of easily, isn't it? So, as long as these enemies are inside and outside, all you have to do is to purify yourself. That purification is necessary. Like in the Shastram it is mentioned, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. All these different things. Lust, anger, greed, all different names. It comes in different forms and different names, but they are all enemies inside. So, that those things have to go. Before they go away, this identity will not happen with the spirit soul. Identification with the soul will not happen unless these things go away from inside. So that is the problems inside. Now externally also our enemies are there in many forms, that we have created enemies, we have created friends also in this world. And so long as one is thinking in terms of this is my friend, this is my enemy, he has no hope, Krishna says. Because that is also your mental concoction. You have absorbed your mind. Sometimes people say sometimes, and it's amazes me when they say, oh, he's my great friend, he's a good friend of mine, and he'll do this for me, he'll do that for me. If when someone says like that, you can take it, when he says he has got a good friend, he has got a good enemy as well waiting somewhere else for him. There is no question about that. This good Krishna, nobody else. All our actions are false. Our mind has created and concocted it. And even so-called advanced devotees, when they talk about, I have these connections in the top with this government and that government, and we keep working in that direction. For Krishna's sake, I am doing this. Krishna doesn't need any of your so-called friendship and enmity. Either way, he is transcendental to all of these things. But in our mundane understanding of spiritual life, we start building up all these vasanas inside, creating somebody as our friend. Gordon Brown is my friend, Blair is my friend, somebody else is my enemy, this way, that way. We build up all these illusions in our head, thinking that I am progressing in spiritual life. Krishna says, I'm sorry. That Yedu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasyamal Para Ananyenaiva Yogena Mamdhyayantam Upasade Tesha Amaham Samudharta Mrityu Samsara Sagaral Bhavamina Ajiral Partha Mayaveshita Chedasam Mayeva Mana Adhatsva Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya Nivasishyasi Mayeva Ada Urdhvam Nasam Shayaham. One interesting thing about Krishna's way of presenting is this. Krishna talks to you directly. This is what's expected of you. If you can stand up to that and progress in that route, you will get back to Krishna. But if you give up all that, Krishna's instructions, and make up your own ideas about spiritual life, then for whole lifetime you will be going in that direction also. That is why it's necessary. In this 12th chapter, Krishna speaks very directly to Arjuna about this process. When one has developed proper detachment, renunciation, one's own identity as the spirit soul. Otherwise it's not possible. What did we find in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning? When Arjuna told Krishna that all these standing there as my enemies, they already he has decided they are all my enemies. And these who are standing on this side, they are all my relatives and friends. So this is the illusion Arjuna has fallen into. And Dhritarashtra's problem was the same. Dhritarashtra was also having the same problem. All these Kauravas and my 100 children, they are mine. The rest everyone is my enemy. This way Dhritarashtra has concluded. Same way Arjuna also concluded. And Krishna is now saying to Arjuna, come out of all this illusion. They are not your friends nor your enemies. They are all inside as well as outside. But to consider them as your friends and enemies, more important than that is to come to your own spiritual identity as spirit soul. And he notice, my buddhim niveshaya, hand over the intelligence to me. Follow my route, what I am showing to you. That's what it means. My buddhim niveshaya, take Krishna's instruction seriously. Krishna says, my eva mana adhatsva, absorb the mind in me.
and hand over the intelligence to me, Krishna says. If that happens, what will all be the result? Nivasishyasi mayeva. You will not leave me then. You will be within me. Adha urdhvam na samshayah. Then you will go up and up in the spiritual life. Otherwise, no possibility. You will hang around here, making friends and making enemies, and both will neither help you. At the time of death, they will all cause problems to you. That's what Krishna is saying here. So after this, first offer, Krishna has spoken to this. Virtually what it means is to be situated in one's own spiritual identity. That is what this verse means. To be situated in one's own spiritual identity. It is based theorem. Now, in the last verse, if you look, Krishna used the word manam. Isn't it? Mayeva mana adhatsva. In this verse, Krishna says, atha chittam samadhadum. There it was manam, here it was chittam. Why is that difference come? Although, in English, there is not an equivalent word for chittam. So, I think that's why Prabhupada used the word mind in both cases. There also it's mind, here also it's mind. But the word used there is manam, and here it is chittam. Why that difference had come? There Krishna says, mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhin niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva adha urdhvam na samshayaha. There Krishna says, mayeva mana adhatsva, absorb the mind in me and hand over the intelligence to me. Nivasishyasi mai buddhin niveshaya, enter intelligence into me. In other words, take use your intelligence to follow Krishna's instructions. Having spoken like that, in this word Krishna says, atha chittam samadhadum nashaknoshi mai sthiram. If your chittam cannot absorb in me, abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dhananjayam. Abhyasa yogam, he says you should follow. You should follow abhyasa yogam. Now, why it is spoken like that? Atha chittam samadhadum. Let us understand. There are four things in the subtle body, inside. What are they? Mind, intelligence, false ego, and chittam. Chittam, I don't know if there is any equivalent English word. I have not seen anywhere. So, we'll call it like this. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and chittam. What? Samshaya alpiya mana. Every time, whenever you have a doubt about something, for example, as soon as a problem comes to you, when you start analyzing the positive side, the negative side, benefits, or the advantages, disadvantages, you start comparing this, isn't it? And so from two sides, different things comes to you, and you are unable to make a decision. Who does this job? That's the duty of the mind. Mind does that. It is the mind that performing this activity all the time. Then, when you comes after that, intelligence role. The role of intelligence is nishchaya almiya buddhi. Buddhi, what buddhi does is, if the mind has compared something and come to some reasonable understanding, buddhi picks one from that and says, this is the answer. And then you make your decision, you have decided to go with that. That's what buddhi does. So, mind, samshayalpiya buddhi, samshayalpiya manas, nishayalpiya buddhi. Two things, mind and intelligence. Ahangaram. Ahangaram means false ego. It is this false ego that makes us, forces us to act in this world. Isn't it? Because I'm doing, I'm the doer, the results is coming to me. And this false ego is developed from the creation itself. At that time, our identity has started like that. Ahangaram is the cause of that. Ahangaram, I am the person. I am, me, I am. That ahangaram is inside, that is also causing that. So long as this ahangaram is there, all our activities also will be based on this me and mine. Mamedi. Janasya mohoyam aham mamedi. Bhagavatam says, me and mine. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. I am the one who is getting the results from that. I am the doer. I am developed. Three types of hangaram came from there. Satyakam, Rajasam, Tamasam. And from there came the comes the different senses, everything. That we have talked about that. So, that aham, ahangaram is another aspect which is within us. And it is the same ahangaram, one ahangaram, that is distributed in all the living entities. But in illusion they are thinking, this ahangaram, I am, and somebody else is thinking I am, and someone else is thinking I am. But that ahangaram comes at the time of creation itself. So, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram. And then the last one is chittam. Chittam means that whatever one has experienced in previous times in life, either in this life or in the previous life, only that, what he has experienced before, a tendency is to remember that and holding on to that. That is the duty of chittam.
So generally in our life, normal life, people, human tendency is always to remember the past and think about through, all the time through this, that so many things have happened in the past life and in the previous life, and so many experiences one acquires in this world, all these experiences stacks up inside in form of thoughts, in different thoughts. And these thoughts will be a continuous flow through the mind all the time. That is the duty of chittam. Chittam will not analyze anything what it has not experienced before. It will only experience what it will only remember what it has experienced in its previous life. So that is the duty of chittam. So manasa buddhi ahankaran chittam. Now buddhi can even analyze things which it has not experienced before. Chittam's flow, you cannot absorb your mind in Krishna. That's natural. You can see, experience yourself. You came and sat in front of the deity to do the deity worship. What is happening? You are arranging the flowers, arranging the offering, everything. Thinking about, oh, am I going to miss the bus to the workplace or miss the train? So, in spite of your best efforts to do the worship of the deity, the chittam is not allowing inside. It is still taking you somewhere else. Why? So powerful it is inside. Atha chittam samadhadam. Krishna says, if that chittam cannot be arrested and brought under control, nashanoshi, if it's not possible, mayisthiram, then absorb it in me. Abhyasa yogena tado mam ichaptam dhananjaya. Krishna says to Arjuna, by practicing it is possible. Krishna says to Arjuna, by practicing it is possible. Krishna says, by abhyasam. This abhyasam means, what does abhyasam means? Abhyasam means to practice something repeatedly and get it under control. Everybody does this abhyasam. All the sportsmen does that, isn't it? Tennis players, cricket players, football players, they are day in and day out, they are practicing. Why? Although they play only for 2 hours in the field in a week or in twice in a week or so, whole week they have to practice it. That is abhyasam. So Krishna is saying here, through abhyasam it is possible to bring these things under control. To bring these things under control. So first option Krishna gave to Arjuna was, absorb the mind and intelligence in me. Arjuna says, that's not possible. Now Krishna says that it is possible. Krishna says, that's not possible. That's not possible. Because if they were so simple things, as Krishna says, Arjuna would have taken to it. But seeing Arjuna's difficulty, Krishna has offered, Krishna has offered another two more options to Arjuna. Because here, atha chittam samadhadum na shanknoshi mayisthiram abhyasa yogena dado mami chaptam dhananjaya. That is what Krishna is saying. Through abhyasam it is possible, Krishna says. So, but earlier in the, I think it was in the 6th chapter, when we discussed about dhyana yogam, Arjuna has already spoken about abhyasam once. Krishna has spoken about abhyasam once. And that time itself, Arjuna has rejected abhyasam. If you remember, while sitting for meditation, when Krishna spoke about meditation process, dhyana yogam process, what is all required for that? Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. Ashtanga Yoga system, when it was discussed, Krishna took step by step and told him about that. And then Arjuna withdraw from that. That is not possible. Arjuna is a Kshatriya. He has his own modes of nature in him. And his Swabhavam is different. And he realized that all this is not practical for him. So there also Abhyasam, Arjuna has rejected. But coming to before that, here Krishna spoke about being situated in oneself, in his own Swarupam. Arjuna rejected that also. And then Krishna again saying to him, Abhyasam is necessary for that. Through Abhyasam it can be done. But this Swarupam is such a thing that when you understand it, how the way Krishna has presented it, some have said about various things. So he wanted some peace of mind. So he thought, maybe the best thing would be that I should approach some spiritualist or spiritually advanced personality who should go to him and inquire from him. Spiritually, when one is advanced, he gives up his material activities. So he traveled around looking for someone like that. Eventually he found a person. He found someone who was sitting underneath the tree. So prior to going to see him, this wealthy person, this the rich man thought
that let me put some jewelry and card, cash, everything together and make a bundle of it. And if I see someone like that, I'll give this to him and ask him how to get some peace of mind in this world. And so he made a bundle of some expensive jewels and everything, tied it up and took it with him. So he went up to one of these sadhus who were sitting underneath the tree. He had nothing with him, but he was very peaceful. By looking at him, our rich man realized that this person looks very peaceful, much more peaceful than me who has got everything. So let me ask him what I should do to get some peace. So he brought this cash, the jewelry, everything, jewels, and he opened it in front of him. And he told this sannyasi or sadhu, whoever was sitting there, he told him that I have no peace in my life. I have a lot of wealth, but I have no peace in my life. I brought this and I would like to, can you give me some peace of mind? And I would like to give this to you, he said. These jewels to him. As soon as he got these jewels, he took it and ran away from there. Didn't care for the wealthy person. Straight away he ran from there. The sadhu. Sadhu left with all the cash, all the jewelry. When he ran, this wealthy man, he also felt that I'm not going to leave him like this. I'm going to get it back, he said. Ran after him. He ran and ran and ran. Both were running for a long time. After long running, he caught him eventually. When he caught him, this sadhu throws it back at him. Take it, he said. Your wealth. Then the rich man says, oh, I got it now, he says. So he asked him, have you got now peace of mind, he said. So what you are looking for outside is not going to come. It is inside there. So instead of looking inside, you are thinking with your wealth you can buy these things outside. And you are running around everywhere looking for it with this wealth packed up in your package, thinking that I'll buy this here or I'll buy it elsewhere. This is your mind that is telling you to do like this. But Shastra is telling us, don't wander around like this. You won't find it anywhere. You can't guess it. The thing is not outside. The thing is inside what you are looking for. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Nivasishyasi mai eva adha urdhvam na samshayaha. That till we come to that consciousness, our connection with Krishna, situated in the spiritual platform, with our identity fixed up in connection with Krishna, we will not find it elsewhere. You can go on searching for it with all your wealth in this world, where you will find it. You won't find it. That is what the story is telling us. That practice it, Krishna says. Abhyasa yogam. Practice it. Through practice you can get there. So the second option, what Krishna has given, is not much different than the first option. First option is, Krishna says, this is what you should do. Be situated within me, within Krishna. Then you are okay. But Arjuna says no. Then Krishna says, practice it then. There is no other option. So the second option is nothing but another way of reaching the same goal as in the first option. That's what Krishna is saying there. Then the mind is such a thing, mind is such a thing that it will go everywhere. It will not allow you to go to the right place. Everywhere else it will take you. That's what Krishna is very forcibly telling us in this way. But a devotee or one person who wants to go back to home, back to Krishna, he has to have the determination and faith in Krishna's words and follow the route fully committed and fully perfecting, trying to perfect in that path. That is why this is spoken like that. In order to put that endeavor completely in that direction, vairagyam is necessary. That is the reason why vairagyam is given importance. Vairagyam and jnanam, two things are spoken in the beginning, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam we have seen this in so many instances, repeatedly spoken about jnana vairagyam. Why? Through knowledge and through renunciation, that distraction of the mind will go away to other material objects and material enjoyment. And so long as these two things are not accompanied by with the not materialized, they will continue like a boat rocking in the water all along. So in different times, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, these things will be very clearly expressed there. Then after these two things are spoken, then
Krishna's offers are sometimes so interesting, you don't know which one to pick. Every single offer is such wonderful offers. Krishna says here, abhyasyapi asamarthosi, if you are asamartha, if you are incapable of practicing abhyasam, then mal karma paramo bhava, do everything for me. Where is the problem? Krishna says, mal karma paramo bhava, because mal artham sarva karmani, if you have done everything for me, kurvan siddhim avapsesi, there is no doubt you will come back to me. Krishna says, in other words, Krishna is very clearly telling us one thing, that so long as you have your own plans to do in this world, that's not going to take us back to the spiritual life, spiritual world. If you want to come back, you have to follow Krishna's words and Krishna's words alone, nothing else. There is no alternative. That is why Krishna is addressed as Jagadguru, the supreme spiritual master. All the great acharyas, starting from Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every single acharya goes, follows the path what Krishna has laid out. There is no other path for them. In that path, they cannot deviate, because these things are fundamental things in spiritual life. When one does not follow them, there is no possibility of success. You're wasting time. That's why Krishna is saying here that jnana vairagyam is necessary. Abhyasa epyasamartosi. If abhyasam is not possible, Krishna says, mal karma paramo bhava madartham sarva karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Then, in that case, what does it mean? That there are options. Krishna says, continuously surrender to me, engaging in chanting the holy name, study. This is just to give an understanding how our situation is, what our situation is. One company manufactured toothbrushes in the early days when the toothbrush came into the market. So, nowadays there's of course, there's a lot of developed toothbrushes, motor operated, electric operated, electronic, with the controls on it, the different kinds of teeth, how you can, when you read all their literature and all, you will wonder, is this the greatest crisis in life, how to brush the teeth? You will start thinking like that. Some of these literature they have printed out of it. And they make you, they draw you more and more into this understanding of maintaining this body and the bodily concept of life. And so much millions and millions of dollars are spent on this kind of businesses, isn't it? So brushing the teeth is, after all, billions of people have come to this world, they have brushed their teeth and they have gone from here after brushing the teeth. Why is it such a complicated science? I don't know why it is spoken like this. But whatever it is, this company, in the beginning, when they manufactured this toothbrush, they put out an announcement. They give a guarantee for some 50 years or something for the toothbrush, which is quite a long guarantee for the toothbrush to give. So somebody bought it and he started using the toothbrush for some time. In a few days, the whole toothbrush finished. It was not showing the guarantee what he got from the manufacturer. So he's very disgusted with it. And it was a novelty at that time, whatever that toothbrush it was. It doesn't matter which company, that's not important. So he's decided the court, and in the court the inquiry started about that. So the judge asked him, that did your company give this guarantee to this for the toothbrush 20 years? He says, yes, it is guaranteed for 20 years. So what happened, he said. The judge asked the person who brought the toothbrush. He says, I only used for 10 days. The whole thing has come out, he said. The what do they call the bristles or what is it? Yeah. It has come out from the toothbrush. There's nothing is working, he said. Some of them has gone inside also in the process of brushing inside. So he had a lot of complaint about the toothbrush. So the judge asked him, so this person, the salesman, asked him, how did you use the toothbrush? Let me know what did you do with the toothbrush that it has damaged you like that, he said. So this person says that the toothbrush is damaged, what can I do? No, here is a new one, he says. You take it and use it and show it to me. What did you do? He says, he took the toothbrush, put the paste on it and started brushing the tooth all over. Then the salesman said, that's a mistake you have made. This is not how you use the brush, he said. So he could not understand. Everybody uses a toothbrush like this. No, no. In this case, what you do is you hold the brush and brush the teeth like this. This is how you like that. That Krishna is saying here, one offer after another offer. Every offer looks very glorious, but nothing is working. What can you do? അഭ്യാസേത്യ സമർത്തോസി മൽക്കർമ്മ പരമോ ഭവ മദർത്ഥം സർവകർമാണി കുറുവൻ സിദ്ധ്യമവാപ്സ്യസി. That is why as you are fully liberated from everything. What's happening is, you have left all the chains there. They have put another chain on you here. That's what it is. So, madartham sarvagarmani. Where is the artham sarvagarmani? Kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. So, this is the problem. In the spiritual life also, we are very expert in throwing away one set of chains, but we are expert in putting another set of chains on us. Then the new set of chains is telling us, this is all whom you should hear, this is all what you should read, this is all what you should eat, this is all when you should sleep. And completely a new set of chains is thrown at you. So, what have you given up? Madartham sarva karmani kurvan siddhyam avapsyasi abhyasepya samartosi kartummal yogam ashrida madartham sarva karmani kurvan siddhyam avapsyasi. So, unless one is thoughtful and thinking through these things, one will always mislead oneself into difficulties. One will give up things. Oh, somebody has heard some sannyasi speaking somewhere, gave up everything, wife, children, everything, job. What job? Useless all, working in this world. Oh, they have told me you are serving the demons, don't waste your time serving the demons. And don't earn money, it's not necessary, everything useless. And don't worry about the family, children, all useless. Throw it away. This is not what Krishna is saying. If you understand Krishna's Bhagavad Gita properly, one will act in a little different, sensibly. Otherwise, what will happen is, you will make your material life misery, and the spiritual life also will be a misery. So, here Krishna is saying, Abhyasepya samartosi mal karma varati. He has to function in this world. And with all the vasanas inside, and all the modes of nature with him, and the power of illusion, a living entity cannot break that ropes straight away. He won't have the strength for that. Therefore, the gradual process through karmam is necessary. It's also necessary. But how to purify one's own karmam and how to go on a gradual basis, elevate oneself in the spiritual path, that's what Krishna is talking about. An example is like this. Say, for example, say, a father goes to office in the morning to work and he has got one son at home and he's about, say, 8 or 10 years old. He is waiting for his father to come back from office. Whole day after coming back from school, he has been waiting somebody to play with. So due to some reason, the parents don't want to let the child go away to play anywhere else because they are worried that there could be some problems or whatever it is, like we see in the modern world today. So because of that, the son is waiting at home for the father to come back. Father comes back from work after a whole long day at work. When he comes home, the son wants him to immediately start playing with him. Father is in no mood at that time. He's got enough problems going through his head otherwise. So, but still, he looks at the son and agrees to play with him because otherwise he's going to be terribly disappointed. And he has been waiting all along for father to come back and to play with him. So they decided to play some games, any kind of games, just like caroms or snakes and ladders, whatever it is at that age what the children play, he will say, and he will walk out from there. Would he not? He will not be interested. But he has to keep the son interested, engaged in the game. So he will play the game in such a way, but he is not concerned about winning or losing it. It doesn't matter to him at all, because as far as he is concerned, he is only playing it for satisfying the son's need, not for his own happiness. So Krishna is saying here, while executing karmam also, this has to be the attitude. That with the intention that I have to get the results from that and satisfy my own needs and desires, then Krishna says that will cause a problem. So, abhyasepya samartosi mal karma paramo bhava. While performing karmam, Krishna says, be in that consciousness that the results are going to Krishna. Let Krishna be satisfied with that. Madartham sarvagarmani, for my benefit, do everything. Kurvan siddhim avapsesi. If it is executed in that consciousness, exactly like this, in this way, then that karmam will not bind the person in any way. That is one of the points to be made in particular relationship with this verse Krishna is talking about. And after that, Krishna is saying here, that last one, Krishna says here, അഥൈദപ്യശക്തോസി കർത്തും മദ്യോഗമാശ്രിത സർവകർമ്മഫലത്യാഗം
tada kuriyatalmavan. Then Krishna says, even if that is not possible, asaidadap ashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashrida. Starting with, what was the first one? Mayeva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi. Verse 8, that was the first option. Verse 9, Krishna says, atachittam, if that's not possible, by practice abhyasa yogam. If that's not possible, Krishna says in verse 10, mal karma varamo bhava madartham abhikarmane kurven siddhim avapsyasi. And then, if that also, if you are not capable of doing that thing, Krishna says that kartum mad yogam ashida sarva karma phalatyagam. Krishna says, if you look at verse, chapter 6, verse 34, you'll find the same thing happened there also, in 34, verse 34, where Krishna says, Krishna says, when Krishna said to Arjuna to control the mind, what did Arjuna say? Arjuna says, Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadhi balavel drudam, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayoriva sudushkaram. It is not possible. Arjuna, already Arjuna has spoken about that. Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadhi balavel drudam, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayoriva sudushkaram. And in reply to that, Krishna has already spoken in the next verse, asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. Then, abhyasena dukaundeya vairagyena jagrihyade. So, there also, Krishna has already spoken these things, abhyasam and vairagyam. So, there, when Arjuna said to Krishna, that abhyasepasi kaundeya, if by abhyasam also it is not possible, then higher option, another option is mal karma paramo bhava, do everything for me. Madartham sarva karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. In that way you will come back to me. You will get attached to me. So Krishna can only do this much to tell us what to do, how to follow the process. And we also have to make that decision. This is where I am at and this is what I have to do. And you have to do what Krishna says. There is no other alternative to that. There is no other alternative to that. Ultimately, Krishna gives the last one. Adhaidhava prashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashrida sarva karma phalatyagam tada kuriyadalmavan. So, if one offers sarva karma phalatyagam, if everything what one has got, the results of his activities is offered to Krishna, Krishna says that will also kartum mad yogam ashridaha. That yogam will develop with me. Connection with Krishna will happen through that. So these four options Krishna has spoken, and at the end, Krishna says the last one, a relationship with all that. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, jnanal karma balatyagam, tyagal shandiranandaram. This verse is a very difficult verse, because shreyo hi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. The way it is translated is, better than jnanam is dhyanam. Better than dhyanam is... Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. So abhyasam is better than jnanam. It is called in the Sanskrit as panchami vibhakti. That means that the you can read from that verse in two different ways. Two, three different ways you can read that verse. If you say that abhyasam is better than jnanam, or jnanam is better than abhyasam, whichever way you take it, it will come at the end that jnanam is not so important. That is also not correct. Because if you say that jnanam is not important, then everything else also won't fall in its place, isn't it? So, jnanam is better than jnanam, it says. Certainly, jnanam is better than jnanam. But in order to execute jnanam properly, jnanam is necessary. In order to execute jnanam, jnanam is necessary. Sometimes people misunderstand. Oh, I have taken to jnanam process. I don't need jnanam, isn't it? Sometimes they think like that. I have taken to the process of jnanam, meditation. So I don't need jnanam. Or if you read that verse, it can also mean karma bhalatyagam is superior to jnanam. If it is like that, why should I bother about karma bhalatyagam? Karma bhalatyagam will be sufficient. But none of them is on its own can stand. It cannot stand on its own. In other words, for example, if you try to execute karma phalatyagam alone, without caring for jnanam and dhyanam, to reach perfection will be difficult.
reach perfection will be difficult. Sometimes people have the understanding, okay, perform 1 year jnanam, another year abhyasam, another year dhyanam, another year karmavalati. The previous scientists, whatever they have brought out, on their conclusions, the new scientist will come and conduct further experiments and comes out with a new theory. So, whether it is Darwin or Newton or any other scientist, if you take the Einstein or anyone, it doesn't matter. What they are doing is, they are taking the research work of the previous scientists and from them they take it further. Nobody is starting from the basics again, do they? All the ancient scientists, say in the 1800s, whatever they have discovered or invented, on that further development goes on again and again. Spiritual life is not like that. In spiritual life, you have all these options. It's up to the individual to take it and properly mix it and bring it together in such a way that eventually what will elevate him, that is independent of all this. Therefore, Vedic literature very clearly says that all this Vedic literature, everything is only up to a point to help you to get there. Once you get there to the point, you can give them up all at that point. You don't need them anymore because you have got the truth. You have experienced the truth. You don't need anyone else to give you any support after that. So, in the Vedic philosophy or in the process of spiritual life, one does not have to be and to look into one's own situation all the time. And one has to act in the proper way. And that is what all these are meant for that. Jnanam, Dhyanam, Karma, Phalatyagam, everything is necessary for one's own one's own progress in the spiritual path. One has to use them. All the different options are given there. That's what Krishna says. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, jnanal karma halatyagam, syagachandi nanandaram. Can also be spoken, due to jnanam, dhyanam will be very successful. If you have good jnanam, jnanam can become successful also. Due to abhyasam, jnanam can be successful. Due to jnanam, dhyanam can be successful. Due to dhyanam, karmaphalatyagam can also be successful. You can understand in that way also from this verse. So this verse has got that freedom to look at it in that way also. Or in other way, you can also see it like the way it's written in the Bhagavad Gita that from the abhyasam, better than abhyasam is jnanam. Better than jnanam is dhyanam. Better than dhyanam is karmaphalatyagam. As Krishna says there, Jnanal Karmavalatyagam, and after Karmavalatyagam, Stiyagam, Shandi Anandaram. With the result of that will be, one will be peaceful in one's own existence. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, up to this point, we have spoken about the different processes Krishna has spoken. Narada Bhakti Sutram, when we discuss later, we will see how Sri Narada Maharshi talks about all these things a little bit more nicely. We can Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyade, Dhyanal Karmabhalatyagam, Tyagachandi Anandaram. That is a verse 12. And we'll stop there. Why? From now on, what Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita is, Krishna is making a list. He's making a list. And in that list, we should think, are we in that list? In Krishna's list. Everybody has a list, isn't it? We all have a list of our own. Who is our friend and who is our enemy and this, that and the other. That's our list. And Krishna is also in that list. Krishna is in our list. But are we in Krishna's list? So we have kept Krishna is in our list. But are we in Krishna's list? That is what we have to find out. So in order to find out whether we are in Krishna's list, from now on up to the end of this chapter, Krishna is talking about those who are in Krishna's list. That's what the rest of this chapter is. The rest of this chapter is nothing but those who are in Krishna's list. We'll discuss that when we start in September again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.